What had happened was, this was around the time that I was learning to read English. I was learning to read in general, but also around the time when my mother was learning in English. And one of the things that we would do together is she would read me picture books. I loved all kinds of picture books, but there was just this one, and I think it was the very first one that we borrowed from the elementary school library. I don't remember what the book is called now, but it was all about Mother Earth. It was all about what we owe. Oh, Song Sparrow. What we owe to the Earth. And it was the first time that I had ever heard the... It was the first time I had ever heard the term Mother Earth. Did you share that song, Sparrow? Let's see if it'll sing for us again. Beautiful. It was the first time I had ever heard the term Mother Earth. And it was all about, essentially, how... the Earth is, like, perfect and beautiful, and human activity is creating devastation towards all life on Earth. It focused mainly on plants and animals. I think mostly on animals, actually. It was an eye-opener, and it made me very, very conscious about my relationship to this world, what I could be doing to help continue to sustain it. And at the same time, this is no fault of my mom's. She just saw the animals and thought that I would like it. She just saw the animals on the cover and thought that I would like it. But it also instilled in me a deep existential dread and pain that I've been having to navigate and deal with for the past, you know, many decades that I have been a living, breathing human being. But possibly you could say, you know, you could argue in some sense that it was for a good cause. So that's kind of like my first memory of really being conscious of my relationship to this planet and to the land and this world. I wonder what yours was. You can share it with me if you want, typicallytuesdays@gmail.com. Please send me bird photos. Please send me pictures of cool plants. But also, you also don't have to share anything with me. Just think about it, you know. What makes you want to help protect... Ooh, that bird's diving. What is that? Maybe that's a northern flicker. I feel like it's a flicker. I feel like I saw the signature flicker feathers. Anyways, while I figure out this bird, maybe you can also think about what your first memory was of you being conscious that you are, in fact, a person of this earth and also have some kind of responsibility in taking care of it. Ooh, deep existential questions here on Typically Tuesdays. Hey, let's listen to some music while we do that, actually. Here is Bon Enfant with Ménage du Printemps. Enjoy!
is Bird Note. Mother Goose sounds old-fashioned, so let's bring her story up to date. Everyone knows Cinderella and Sleeping Beauty. They're Disney stories, right? Not exactly. 3 centuries before they helped make Disney famous, they were among the original Mother Goose tales. And hundreds of classic nursery rhymes, like Three Blind Mice and Humpty Dumpty, were also first gathered under Mother Goose's wing. Such stories and rhymes were long part of Europe's oral folklore. The stories were first published in France in 1697 as Tales of My Mother Goose. The book appeared in English soon after. Just who or what was Mother Goose? The name originates in an old French euphemism. Stories told by elder women were called Tales Told by Mother Goose. Mother Goose was sometimes illustrated as an old country woman wearing a tall hat and riding on the back of a goose, or sometimes as just a big motherly goose wearing reading glasses and a bonnet, a friendly figure children could trust. There's something timeless about big feathery friends for children, even today. For Bird Note, I'm Michael Stein. This episode is brought to you by Wild Delight Bird Food, which aims to support wild bird populations with clean, nutritious ingredients in every blend. Available at Chewy.com.
What you are hearing here is a red-winged blackbird right here on Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. In terms of music, well, okay, hey, I'm Leslie. Music-wise, you had just heard 1,000 Trees by Beached Out. Before that, you heard Aswar by Tut Ard, which means a bird. And I think I'm just gonna stand right underneath this red-winged blackbird for a little bit and see how that goes. There were quite a few of them. Oh, mallard. There were quite a few of them on this tree a few minutes ago. Like three or four of them just chattering away at each other. But this lone female one has decided to stay. And this is a bird that I really don't get to see very often super up close. They're always zooming right before my eyes. So this is kind of a treat. And she's just... wow, she's just gorgeous. Oh, she pooped a little bit. Okay. The wonders of nature. You know, sometimes being at Blakeburn Lagoon, which is where I'm at right now, I feel kind of conflicted because, of course, it's great that there is this kind of like local body of water here where there can be such beautiful birds and plants and critters and bugs roaming around here. And even bears will sometimes like hit up this place, but I can't help but to feel a little bit conflicted. Not necessarily because it's a man-made nature area, but because it actually it sits right in between a pretty busy residential area and a freaking golf course. And I don't know, I guess maybe the city was trying to make up for the fact that there is a freaking golf course out here. In the middle of beautiful, otherwise covered in nature, Port Coquitlam. I have returned to the studio for this final bit of Typically Tuesdays today because as great as it was to record the episode amongst the birds and the trees and blanketed underneath the beautiful, beautiful, bright blue sky, it sort of became awkward and embarrassing to be talking to myself as more people were starting to walk the trail. Didn't want to do that, and so now I've returned to my home, and hopefully I am still able to capture some bird noises because we do have a few trees outside of the house, and it is spring migration. These birds are chirp, chirp, chirping away every single day, and what a joy. But as I wrap up today's episode of the show, you know, so many things just propel me to want to become more conscious around what I can do to support sustainable efforts for nature and the earth. One of those things, of course, being the fact that a lot of political and social issues are really entangled with climate issues as well. On one part of the equation, there's obviously the ways that capitalism, imperialism, tech wars, colonialism, resource extraction impact the environment, but then also there is further complexity with the ways that climate issues impact migration, impact displacement of people from their lands and their homes,
resource extraction and forms of neocolonialism and imperialism have contributed significantly and horrifically issues around gender-based violence, particularly sexual violence against women and girls in many parts of the world. For example, the movement by indigenous communities to bring awareness to missing and murdered indigenous women and girls and Two-Spirit people has shown us that there seems to be a really disturbing relationship between how resource extraction by international and otherwise Canadian settler corporations on indigenous lands have brought in an influx of workers who develop predatory relationships with local women and girls. Similarly, on the international stage, Canada has contributed a lot to, again, also the extraction of resources such as coltan from the Democratic Republic of Congo, which has fueled political corruption and instability in many areas of the country, but also Canada's involvement in that industry has also enabled for there to be essentially systems built in which child labor becomes a part of the work that goes into extracting those resources. And very similarly, again, there also are questions and concerns around the increase of sexual violence against women and girls and others in areas where there is a lot of that type of resource extraction work being done in DRC. At the same time, because of this devastation towards the lands and the earth, and obviously the social and political uncertainties and calamities happening in those communities, there are lots of refugees who come from DRC who want to settle in Canada. And as much as Canada might be willing to accept these refugees, we also need to raise questions, I think, about the ways in which the Canadian immigration and refugee system has shifted over the course of the past month, to allow for the government to retroactively, or whenever it wants to, mass cancel visa and status applications of entire communities whenever it wants to, through the so-called Canadian Strong Borders Act. So these are just some of the examples, which I don't necessarily feel like I have time to like elaborate on every single thing, but these are just some of the examples that, you know, show to us that questions around sustainability, taking care of the earth, are fundamentally also about human rights, because they are so entangled with life, period. Maybe as I wrap up the show today, then the question is, what possibly is the solution for us to, you know, be better about supporting sustainable efforts to take care of the earth and to take care of life in general? I think that, one, educating yourself is super great, super important. One of the things that I have, and because of how broad the idea of like sustainability and eco-justice is, I think it's easier to start on things that are small, that are really of interest, and get bigger, right? So obviously for me, it's like birds, bugs, certain plants and so on. So I've become very interested in learning more about native plants and pollinators and trying to, you know, figure out a way in which I can plant native plants where I live so that there can be more positive natural activity happening around here. Something else that I try to do consciously is to just learn more about the things of nature that I'm interested in. So animals, plants, and so on. I listen to podcasts, I read books, I read comics, because science communication is better than it has ever been before. And of course, taking a lot of advice and learning a lot from land protectors and local indigenous communities as well, in particular, because they're really the people who hold the knowledge around how we should be taking care of the lands on which we live and what the best practices are to do so in a way that is respectful, not only to those who have lived here since time immemorial, but also to the land itself. And of course, the basic practices of recycling, reducing, reusing, and not driving everywhere where I go, being more conscious of when to turn off the tap, turn off the lights, and so on. Things that I've been doing, you know, ever since I was scarred by that book as a little child. But hey, what are some of the things that you've been doing to engage yourself in trying to understand more about the earth and your responsibility to it? And I keep saying your responsibility to it because that is the one thing that I feel I can be very firm on with regards to this issue. We all have a responsibility to the land and to the earth to take care of it for not only ourselves, but also the people who will come after us and all of the other forms of life on it. What have you been doing? Let me know. You can write to me typically Tuesdays at gmail.com. You can also send me a direct message typically Tuesdays on Instagram, or if I guess if you know me personally, you can confront me. You're like, I don't like that hot take of yours. We gotta talk about it. Okay, let's do that. Whatever. Thank you so much for tuning into today's episode of Typically Tuesdays. Happy Earth Month. I do hope you get to go out there and enjoy some nature in some way or another at any point, whenever you can, because